Hey everybody, this is Nick. Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're doing another crossover with Dan talking Marvel movies with Hulk from 2003, the Ang Lee Eric Bana one. We really get into it. Evan and Daniel are there. It's a classic. It's a lot of fun. Also, I apologize, this is a little late and I'm a little nasally. I'm on vacation, so enjoy this. If you like what we do, keep subscribing to us, keep listening to us. Look up the Patreon, patreon.com/myopia. And if you like my movie riffs, Cineprov has its own Patreon where you get movies and shorts riffed as well. That's patreon.com/cineprov. And finally, please write reviews wherever you get it. It helps bring attention to the show. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we go back to the Marvel, I guess it's a cinematic universe, maybe not.
It's the Sam Elliott verse.
The Sam Elliott verse. Cineprov riffing on Ghost Rider, which he's also in.
Yeah.
So God help us all. I'm Nick Hoffman, host and riffer on Cineprov. And on panel we have Evan.
Hi, I'm Evan, member of Cineprov and some other stuff and well-wisher of Myopia.
That's right.
And Nick in general.
Sudsy?
Hello, this is Daniel. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, and I'm a frequent contributor to Poptos, so.
And returning for his second episode this season alone, Dan.
Yeah, hey guys, I am a co-host of the Scuttlebutt podcast. We talk about the Topps Marvel Collect app, which is, you know, fun. It's digital Marvel collectibles. Everyone loves it. So I'm just happy to be here, man. Awesome. I'm happy to be nominated.
It's great. I mean, and I think teased it when we did Daredevil, that we would have you back on.
For this movie, because I was also on that panel.
Yeah.
I think same it's, crew, baby.
Yeah, we back, dream team.
That's right. And it's a reunion across the board. So I guess, Dan, why this one? Why did you want to cover this one on the show?
Oh my God. Mostly because of Rock Dog. That's it. That's the only reason. I love geological formations that look like genitalia just so much.
Would you, for the audience at home, go over, just review what Rock Dog is?
We'll put it in the
group. Of course.
Yeah.
Rock Dog is a rock formation that looks like a dong. For those who might not know, it displays very prominently in this film for about, we got about 20 seconds of Rock Dong in this
something
film.
Like that.
As Hulk lands triumphantly and looks out at the horizon, we get just a view of this triumphant motherfucker, and it is it looks exactly like a penis.
I personally think Rock Dong is one of my favorite B-52 songs.
Yeah, that was a B-side that doesn't get much play.
Yoko Ono originally wrote it.
That's right. Rock Dong.
Damn.
Man. I have not revisited let me say this again. I revisited the the Incredible Hulk movie.
Yeah.
The one with, who is it?
Norton? Edward Norton.
Ed Norton.
Yeah. Ugh, that one's
when
terrible.
I rewatched all of them before Endgame came out. I never.
I still have not seen it again. What's but I bet there? This one's better.
Oh yeah, by a lot.
Oh, you guys think this one's better?
I haven't seen it, but I have. It's from the MCU before the MCU figured out what they were doing.
Right. You know,
where they got lucky with Iron Man 1, and then there's some before they nailed the formula down.
Yeah.
Where they're trying for the formula. So it still kind of has that, at the MCU's worst, they're kind of textureless and all the same, right? So I would be willing to bet the Hulk is that, because it's got all of the trappings of it. You know, like he fights a villain that has the same power. I assume he's funny and kind of snarky. You know, he's got that stock Marvel personality. Again, just some guesses. I've never seen the movie. But this has some personality and some choices to it.
That's true.
to be fair about this movie, it's kind of a ripoff of Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man.
I was like, just going to say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is, it's really interesting you say that, because I started watching it this morning, and it was like, wow, I think this music, even this opening intro,
Danny Elfman.
It's the same music, if I remember correctly, from Spider-Man.
That I don't know, but it's Elfman, so he could copy to paste it, called it a day.
Yeah, I mean, it really sounds like very, like, to the point that I was convinced that they were the same, like, opening scores, and I was just like, dude, this dude's phoning it in.
Yeah,
like he got his Nightmare Before Christmas money, and now he's just, you know, he's just phoning it in. But
well, still about this movie, I kind of miss the days where, like, individual directors could make their own interpretation of superhero movies. Like, right. Nobody else could have directed that first Spider-Man movie but Sam Raimi. Nobody else could have directed that first Batman movie but Tim Burton.
Yeah.
And in this case, I mean, it's definitely an Ang Lee movie, for better or worse. All the MCU movies just all feel the same, no matter who's making them.
But you got to be careful what you wish for, man, because that's exactly what they're dealing with DC right now.
The Spider-Man, God.
All that nonsense, right? Like, I mean, that's, you know what it is.
I like the Snyder Cut. It's not perfect, but it was fine.
I haven't had 4 hours of time to sit down and, like...
There are chapter breaks. You're fine.
Right,
we have
right,
been
right.
in quarantine, Evan. You're telling me you don't have 4 hours?
I've had 4 hours. I just haven't watched the damn movie.
No, you have made a wise decision.
The original Justice League was not good enough for me to be like, you know what?
No.
I need to see this again. Let me give Justice League another shot, a fair shake.
What really...
Zack Snyder is better.
What really upset me with the Snyder Cut is that not only did I watch it, but then this motherfucker puts out a black and white cut like 3 days after. 3 days. And I'm just like, God damn it. Why am I tempted? Why am I tempted
I
to do
to
this again?
What this movie looks like, devoid of color.
I am one of those people who I will rewatch movies in black and white, like if they're available. Sure. I won't, like, you know, like turn off, like, you know, fuck with my TV settings to get,
like,
a black and white.
You know what? The live action Dr. Seuss really needs a no color variant.
I'm
really
sure
it changes the scope of the cinema.
I'm sure you were a big fan of Fury Road when they came out with the black and white version of that.
I do really, really love that one, actually. I really love that black and white cut. Yeah, because it's all about, like, the contrast and some of the, like, scenery that you see in that movie. Like, when you put it in that black and white and see the contrast in between the various characters and their backgrounds and stuff, it just looks so amazing. Fantastic.
I'm not saying you're wrong. That's just surprising to me, because for me, the color design of that movie is like
so good.
Yeah,
so, it suffers from, just at the time, it was like everything's blue and orange.
Right.
Right.
Oh yeah,
true. And so, like, to me also, it just, like, it takes that away. It, like, makes you focus on other things. Logan also has a black and white cut. Yeah. I have that on 4K. It's awesome. It's so many K's, right? yeah, it's great. I will say, if I'm rewatching Logan, I'm not popping that one in every time, but every now and then, it's an interesting change of pace. Like, it makes you focus on different things. And I think every now and then it's nice to do that with movies that you revisit.
Well, and I'll segue back to our feature here, but, like, first of all, this puts a green filter on everything, which is really gross. But secondly, what I like about Logan, which it blew me away, it's an artistic movie. This movie actually makes directorial decisions, which we don't see. It's a standalone movie, which, again, they just don't do anymore. That's the thing that I kind of like about, say, Aquaman, because you don't have to see anything else to get Aquaman.
That
you
is true. Like,
that first Iron Man movie, you can just sit down and watch, or the Raimi Spider-Man movies. But now, like, it feels, I haven't even seen Far From Home yet, because I feel like it's too much work to get back into a universe that could have ended with Endgame and I would have been fine.
Yeah.
The last good one of that genre was Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Well, Spider-Verse is a masterpiece, but, like, I will say that someone who is pretty, I'm not a diehard MCU fan, but I like it. Far From Home had a job to get everyone back into the MCU. And right. I think it succeeded in that. I don't think it's like an incredible movie. It's fun. It's a good time. But it had one job and it did it. Oh, well, and also the best casting choice of all time, which I think is as Raimi-verse fans, all of us were. Well, Nick, I don't know if you know. Do you know who they cast as J. Jonah Jameson?
Oh, yeah, they brought back what's his name?
Yes, they did.
What's his name? Excuse me, sir.
Academy Award winner for Whiplash. Which, I mean, no one else could play that role. Like,
have
to do like cast a black guy or something. So it's so different because J.K. Simmons is the cartoon that I grew up with going, get me Spider-Man! Like,
he's a menace!
I mean, I love J.K. Simmons.
He's like, I want you to dress up like Spider-Man and hit someone with a car, so he's guilty. Like, you're just like, okay.
I love also, like, the idea that maybe we'll be, like, whittling down to the perfect cast. Like, the next reboot, he'll still be there. But that's what they're
talking about with that damn new Spider-Man, where they're bringing back Dr. Octopus. They're bringing back...
That's happening, baby.
I love it. Alfred Molina go ahead.
Well, no, I was saying I have a friend who's working on it right now, and this was a few months back. He sent me a picture of him on the glider, and I was like,
nice.
Is that what I think it is?
But I mean, like, there was a picture of Alfred Molina doing a screen cap with the extra arm, the suit, and he started doing If I Were a Rich Man from Fiddler on the Roof, and I'm like, people are actually enjoying being on a set. This is the complete opposite of the Whedonverse and the Spider-Verse. Like, that's what I will say about Marvel in general. The movies are more fun. And that to me is why Aquaman was such like a breath of fresh air, because that was a fun movie.
Yeah.
Whenever you have Willem Dafoe like, I'm a merman, you're like, oh, all right, sure, why not?
Yeah. Well, there's like bold choices, right? Like all of these movies in the MCU are like so controlled by an audience and like, you know, everybody's kind of got their hand on it, making sure it's not too much of anything. I mean, the Guardians and Ragnarok are probably the most like bold, weird ones. And even those are still pretty like pretty mainstream, you know?
Yeah, they fit a formula, which is it's really impressive when you think about it. And at the same time too, it brings up all these issues that you guys brought up, you know, of it's you're watching the same movie every time, but it's, you know, they have really very effectively brought to cinema the comic book experience, I think.
To bring it back to heroes, though, something that this movie does and earlier, to bring it back to Hulk, something that Hulk does that earlier movies do that the MCU often doesn't is that their heroes are just not regular people in the MCU and modern canon of superhero movies. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy are the closest ones, and obviously they're hanging in space with a bunch of Gleek Glorps, you know, like, but you know, these aren't regular people. These are like mad geniuses and billionaires or in the army, or they're born gods or special in some way. Right. Like, we have a little bit of that in this movie, but really he's just like a guy, you know, like Bruce Banner. He's just like a student, you know,
I'm going to stop you there because if you're Nick Nolte's son, that's kind of a superhero.
that's true. Kind
of all right. You got me on that one.
Their ancestors rode the great Hulkasaur.
Oh, Jesus. God damn it. I got to raise a kid now. God, holy hell.
Injected with a lot of green stuff.
I did the green stuff. Boy, did they do the green stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about, maybe I'm jumping ahead on the synopsis here.
Please.
I forgot about the animals in this.
You forgot about Hulk dogs?
I forgot about the Son of the Mask animals that were in this movie.
Oh, my God. I was, man, it's like that. So somebody once asked me, like, separate from this, what I thought of this movie, which is insane. The fact that I've been asked that twice is weird. But somebody, and I was like,
you're at a bar. Someone sidles up to you and goes, so, what do you think about Hulk 2003?
No joke, though. One of my friends was like, if you had to explain this movie, and it's literally like if you knew nothing about this movie and you saw, like, you know, the cast, the director, you know, the fact that it's Hulk, which is at the time, you know, it's one of the most popular Marvel you know, superheroes. It's like you got Jennifer Connelly, you got Ang Lee, you got Nick Nolte, Sam Elliott, like all these people. You're just like, it's got this massive budget, and you're like, this thing is gonna rock. And then you end up getting Hulk dogs.
Hulk dog.
You get multiple Hulk dogs.
Several Hulk dogs.
Yes, including a poodle Hulk dog.
Yeah.
My God. Also, yeah, Nick Nolte's dog posse is two pit bulls and a poodle. And what the fuck, man?
Like, and the poodle's just walking around, which is crazy. Yeah. Like, wandering the halls of this lab outside of Berkeley, California. And you're just like, all right.
Well, it's amazing to me because this was kind of supposed to be the first prestige Marvel movie after Spider-Man, because Jennifer Connelly, I think, had just won an Oscar a couple years and before. And then, I mean, the cast, like you said, was incredible. Sam Elliott, which is perfect casting, by the way.
Oh, he's definitely great.
And then
I thought he was weird, but I think that might just be because I'm used to, like, now Sam Elliott, where he's like smooth and tender. You know,
he's always that's always how he's been.
He's like weird and angry in this movie. Like, he's good. Okay, it's two things. I think he is good in this movie, but I think I'm just so, it would be like if Samuel L. Jackson played Ned Flanders. You know, like, it's,
you're like, I would see that, but
I did live home, motherfucker.
Yeah, I would go broke from the amount of times I saw that movie in theaters. But, you know, it's just like, it's this weird, they're just so different in my head, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, not that he's bad.
I'm kind of glad the Edward Norton version exists, because it works as such a great contrast to this, because I think in that one, it's William Hurt as Thunderbolt Ross, and it's nowhere near as good.
No.
That's
we'll also
casting.
Add to the pile here, Josh Lucas, who right now doesn't matter. Like, he could be in movies. I think he was in that Ford versus Ferrari, which was fine. But in 2003, he was like hot. Between 2000 and 2005, he put out, what, 11 movies or something? He was everywhere.
Yeah, I kept trying to remember stuff that I've seen him in. And it's always like, it's always bit parts as this, like, he's not quite a villain, but he's not the good guy. You know,
no, he always plays a dick. But he's American Psycho, he's in A Beautiful Mind, he's in Stealth. Stay tuned.
Who is he? Who is he in American Psycho?
He's a kid, right?
He's Craig McDermott. He's it's been a while since I've seen it. I just recognize the face. I mean, and he plays a dick named Talbot. Does anyone want to try to give
us
a synopsis? We've been talking for 20 minutes, but
Well, I think Dan should do it, because he's the one who...
Yeah, you've seen it the
most. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. All right. Well, I
was gone.
No, you're good.
He was not a kid.
He's not a kid. I mean, it opens with this amazing montage of David Banner just slicing into random animals, which is... I miss those openings. That's something, you know, we were talking about how movie, you know, comic book movies have been the same. And that's something that I miss is the opening credits being like a montage of just random, like, science bullshit. You know, that it's like, oh yeah, this totally works out. He's making like sea cucumbers come. Like, it's all this weird shit that's going on.
He's doing DNA, whatever that, you know, like, yeah, that's totally, I think, a thing.
Any way he can get it.
Yeah.
And speaking of non-MCU Marvel, this reminds me a lot of the X-Men openings, where it is a bunch of flyby DNA stuff. And
It was the same in Spider-Man, though. The Raimi Spider-Mans had the exact same thing. Like, all of these had that same, like...
Yes, it's weird. The, like, CGI, like, there's little spiders, like, crawling around biting, like, nerve endings in Spider-Man for some reason.
And it's, like, that same, not the same font, but, like, for all of them, it's a very similar, like... I don't know what font it is, but it's very similar.
Yeah, it looks like the comic book printing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not quite Comic Sans, because they couldn't do that.
Speaking of comic book printing, and this is in the opening too, this is edited to look like a comic book. So there'll be like split screens that look like comic panels all throughout the movie.
So much the best part of this movie. I am enamored with some of those action shots.
Yeah, to the point that I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like, man, if the rest of the movie was better, I think that would have taken off. Mm-hmm. I think doing the little panels and then they become big and other panels, you know, swipe in and all this stuff. I think that would have taken off. It's just like the rest of this movie does not work.
Well, and it's so long.
Well, yeah.
The panel shots are cool. You're right. You're absolutely right. But then we'll go 45 minutes without one of those panel shots.
Yeah.
And then it will happen again. Like, and I get it. You can't do it all the time. I'm sure it's a really expensive thing, but it makes the movie feel much more jostling. You either need, you need to cut 20, 30 minutes out of this movie to make it feel punchy, because it's what, 2:15?
Yeah.
If it was like this, 100 minutes, it would be phenomenal.
If you really needed to, you could make this movie work in 45 minutes.
It's 2 hours and 18 minutes, and you can lose half an hour easily.
There, no, Evan, you're totally right. There's about 45 minutes of actual plot in this.
I'm not saying you would want it to be 45, but I'm saying if you needed it to, that you could be fine and watch the
this. Yeah, this could be a TV episode, absolutely.
Oh, and it would end with Bruce Banner sticking out his thumb to hitchhike to somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just thought you were like, everything's cool, man. I'm Bruce Banner, and I'm not the Hulk right now. Like, that's how it would end.
Was Lou Ferrigno in this movie at all?
He was.
Yeah, he's the Hulk. Guard. But yeah, him and
yes,
him
and that's Lee right. He was the security guard.
But he's also he also plays the Hulk, right? Like
in the
no, Ang Lee does the motion capture.
No, doesn't he do the voice Hulk. Though? I thought.
Oh, does he?
I thought so. I thought he kind of always did. Hang on.
Well, we have the Hulk. The Hulk.
Are you
only
doing
has...
a robot chicken bit? Is that what's happening now?
Me? No. I'm doing a. I thought this was a real. I thought he was really the Hulk in this movie.
The Hulk only has two lines in this movie, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. Yeah, that's also the issue. Is like, the Hulk is not talking in this. He's just growling when he's doing anything, which is not often.
No. So, hey,
Dan, do you mind if I skip ahead and plug in the plot for the rest of this?
Do it.
Hell yeah, man. Go for it.
All right.
He did not voice the Hulk, by the way. Eric Bana voiced the Hulk.
Okay.
He did voice him in. He does voice him in the MCU, though.
So in the opening scenes, Dr. David Banner, which is a reference to the old TV show, is a researcher who's trying to find out how to improve human genetics so that they can like regenerate dead tissue. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because he's not allowed human subjects, he subjects himself to his own experience and as a result passes along his mutated genes to his son, Bruce. Things go wrong, and as we find out later, David accidentally kills Bruce's mother while he's trying to kill Bruce. And 30 years later, after Bruce is in foster care, he's now a genetic researcher and trying to find out a way to do the same thing, regenerate dead tissue via nanomeds and gamma radiation. Usually it makes frogs explode, but after an accident in the lab, it works on Bruce and unlocks the recessive traits that he has in his genes to turn into the Hulk. And at the same time, his dad has been released from a mental facility and is stalking him in order to find out what's going on. And eventually he schemes to steal the Hulk's power.
That's it, yeah.
Meanwhile, the whole time Sam Elliott's trying to question mark. Sometimes it's kill him, sometimes it's control him, sometimes it's...
Well, he wants to kill David more than anything else because he's the one who shut down David's research initially.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, he's got that scene with, oh my god, I just watched this movie. What is her name?
Jennifer Connelly.
Betty?
Yeah, well, I was hoping for her real name, but yeah. Her
Betty Ross is her name.
No, Betty Ross. Jennifer Connelly is her real name.
No, well, the actress, like, yeah.
Yeah, I meant the character, but it doesn't
matter. Oh,
I was trying to remember what her name was. I was like, I definitely just watched this movie like 2 hours ago, maybe three, you know? Watched it this morning, couldn't tell you. She has a lot of scenes with him where he's like, she's like making pretty reasonable things. Like, why don't we help this guy? He's like, because he's my, that's why. And it's like, okay, what?
Well, usually when Sam Elliott tells you to do something, you just do it.
I think that's why it works in the movie. He's got the presence, you know, like we could go over plot holes all day, but that's not super interesting. It works, but. It doesn't, it's not super clear what he wants with the Hulk, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it's what it boils down to is essentially just like a grudge against David Banner, right? Yeah. It's like, I shut down his research and now his son's researching the same stuff and that's bad.
Yeah,
and you're like, is it bad?
Well, it's that same scene where he's like, he either knew his father or he ended up in the same field because of.
He was damned, I tell you, damned.
Like, because of predestiny, he goes, damned. And it's like, well, that's the same thing, but with extra stabs. Like, that's right. Just,
Well, but what makes even less
sense... Not a real connection, then.
Well, what makes it even less sense is then, why let your daughter be in the same field working with this guy?
Yes!
Is he like a honeypot? Are you trying to steal the research? What makes more sense in the second one... I mean, again, it's not as, like we can talk about whether the Norton movie is better or not, but the end result is that they're trying to make another Hulk, right? Like, what's the application of this research? It's the same thing they do with Iron Man, which is... Eventually, someone else makes an Iron Man suit, right?
Like, yeah.
The answer, by the way, is the Edward Norton version is not better.
Well, I don't think he knows at first who Bruce Banner is, because he's got this other name. Bruce Krenzler is the name that he goes by because that's, you know, his adopted parents' name. There's a scene where he's like, oh yeah, this, you know, this guy asked me to do, I forget the character's name. What's his name? The business guy who's
Talbot.
Talbot. Thank you. Yeah. He's like, Talbot asked me to do some investigation and you know, he's Bruce Banner. I fired his father. And so it's like, I don't think it's that he like, he's just fine with it. He like finds out later, that, you know, that it is David Banner's son, but it's just like, how long has your daughter worked with this guy? Everything's been fine. They were just like, keep fucking, like, it's cool, man.
They were in a relationship while they were working together.
It doesn't make any sense. He's just a very, very angry general.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a movie trope we see often, I think.
Well, yeah, no, couldn't tell you the last time I saw one of those.
That's fitting with the character, though, in the comics. I mean, Thunderbolt Ross only exists to be angry.
Yeah, that's
true. I'll make a plug because I'm going to forget. If you need a point of reference, there's a really good comic series done. I think it's called the Rainbow Trilogy, but it's Hulk Gray, Spider-Man Blue, and Daredevil Yellow.
Yes, all incredible. Yes. Spider-Man Blues in particular is, if you're only going to read one, Spider-Man Blues, I have all of those on my shelf right now. They are. Nick's totally right. Those comics are amazing.
And I read
Daredevil Yellow's great.
Well, and I read Hulk Gray and Daredevil Yellow last year, which I had not read before. I agree with Evan. I think Spider-Man's the best, but I'd read that years ago. That will tell you the origin story. And this effectively feels like that's what they're doing, plus Nick Nolte. And Nick Nolte is just a goddamn treasure in this.
Before we get into Nick Nolte,
like a shambly hobo.
Before we get into Nick Nolte, I do want to say one thing that I think the movie gets right about the Hulk. Everybody always compares the story to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but really, the Hulk isn't a person, he's a weapon. Mm-hmm. He's meant to be like a representation of science gone wrong. So Bruce Banner isn't Henry Jekyll. He's Robert Oppenheimer. And I think the movie captures that, especially in those moments where Bruce is like, when I transform into the Hulk and lose control, I like it. Because he's scared of that.
That's a good point. Yeah. Sorry, I forget where we were. What were we talking about before this?
We can essentially cut back to... The childhood part winds up with a nuclear green blast that evaporates presumably everything. I don't know how anyone survives this. At one point, we return to the town, and it reminds me of, like, we're going to explore an abandoned amusement park. Like, you expect the Scooby Gang to show up halfway through this damn thing.
It is bleached of color.
It looks like a scene from Atomic Cafe.
It does. Absolutely. But when we cut forward, and we've already introduced all these people, but Jennifer Connelly, Talbot, they're all working on some mysterious genetic research product to make frogs explode, when all of a sudden their loser friend accidentally triggers a gamma radiation explosion, and Bruce goes in to try to save him, right?
Oh my God, and that shot. He's
dosed with a million radiations.
The shot,
iPhone shot,
him diving in front of the radiation, is just wow. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, it's such a face like that. He's doing the whole, I don't know what he's trying to act out.
Well, he's doing it, whatever it is.
He briefly turns into the singer in the Take On Me music videos. What's happening there?
It's just so insane. He looks, I was watching with my roommate. My roommate's like, he looks like a small dog that someone just picked up.
The poodle.
Yeah. But like, he's got his just, he just like spreads all of his arms and legs. He's just like, yeah, oh my God. And then he's just got this face. It's so shocked. And it just looks ridiculous. I had to watch that scene like 3 times because I could not believe that someone's getting paid big money to do that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
Yeah. But like throughout like the childhood shots, he always has like a green tinge to him. And at one point, not Nick Nolte, whoever's playing young David Banner,
yeah,
has the infant in a crib and like takes the toy away, and the kid starts to cry and turns a little green, and you're just like, ooh, foreshadowing.
Do you guys like the weird changed origin story?
No. It was, I mean, it's not a changed origin story, really. That was well established.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but most Hulk origin stories I have read, which I'm not a Hulk scholar by any means, but most are just him, Bruce Banner, as a scientist. There's no father, there's no daddy issues at all.
That's been around since at least the 80s, I think. I mean, in the comics, I think the dad's name was Brian, but Brian. Yeah, no. Bruce was still horribly abused as a child by Brian, and that's what kind of led to his anger issues.
Hmm. Right.
It wasn't changed for me.
No, I get what you're saying, but I think it's changed in the sense of like, there's no, like, I don't think I've seen or know of an origin story for the Hulk where it's like, yeah, his dad experimented on himself and then gave birth to Hulk.
It's super weird because then there's also a separate gamma ray incident that really it's super, yeah, it's not necessary.
Like they're hitting, yeah, they're just like throwing darts and seeing, you know, what sticks. They're just trying to hit all of these origin stories. It's mm-hmm. like, you don't have to do that, you know, just give us the one and we're fine.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what screams to me that this isn't MCU most of all, like, because that kind of it's a mess. Like,
yeah,
what actually causes the Hulk to come out? Is it his anger? Is it the gamma radiation? Because he's already turning green at one point. Though,
yeah. Like,
what makes it happen? And it's just, and again, I don't know why Ang Lee thought that this was the movie he wanted to make. Like, I don't know if he's a comic book fan or not. But maybe there's just a metaphor here I'm not understanding.
I am not going to look that far into it because I know I will be disappointed.
The most I can think of in terms of the changed origin is the fact that this was post 9/11 rather than right in the middle of the Cold War. So they had to change a couple things around.
There should have been terrorists for no reason. There might as well be.
Well, those that's what the Hulk dogs are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Right. I think that nuclear arms, you know, and sort of that sort of military science, that's a tale as old as time. I don't think that doesn't work anymore. You know, it's not like how Tony Stark works. Like Tony Stark will for sure still work in a modern era.
Well, I mean, Iron Man's origin was that he was captured in Vietnam, and that's where he made the suit. And then in the movie, it was Afghanistan.
Yeah, now it's like the same thing. You know, like the character's still where, look, as long as the U.S. military is still pumping buku amounts of money into ways to more efficiently murder people who maybe don't need to be efficiently murdered.
Well, and then he made the suit in a cave out of scraps.
God, that's another one. It's just like, great performance. Why is it Jeff Bridges doing this?
Because they could, man.
He should be hanging out. I should be getting like a contact high just from like listening to Jeff Bridges talk, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's why Nick Nolte is phenomenal in this.
He's great. Nick Nolte.
Oh, hell, I gotta put up with a giant green giant. God damn it.
Okay, go back to what Nick and I were saying. I think Nick Nolte is incredible because he is weird and creep. Like, there's the scene where he's in the hospital bed. He's like, God, you need to help me. And he's like, get the F off of me, dude. You're a weird, creepy old man. And like, I feel like in MCU or really any other superhero movie, it's like, I'll listen. Maybe I'll be skeptical, but then next scene will prove me wrong. You know, this one is like, no, he's just a weirdo. Like, he's right, but he is a weirdo. you know?
I mean, it's very like Victor Frankenstein, like his science turned him crazy, which, I mean, this movie isn't good, but it reminds me of Mickey Rourke in Iron Man 2, where you're just like, he is going for crazy, and he is
he's got it.
Crazy.
Yeah,
he's there.
That is a great, great comparison.
Because, no, like, again, it's not a good movie, but at the same time, you're just like, what's he going to do next? Like, I want to keep watching to see this crazy Russian man. Mickey Rourke is a Russian, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just going nuts. Which, again, it's at one point, I mean, we'll get there, but they're both chained down to one degree or another. And Nick Nolte is saying, I want to see my boy. And he goes, you said I'm your son. He goes, no, the green boy. And they're between these giant, like, I don't even know what. They look like subwoofers. And then Nolte picks up a power cable and starts gnawing on it like a rat.
You're skipping like 2 hours into the movie there,
no,
Nick.
The rat is important to mention early on.
Yeah,
that's true.
CSS Ratna. but I mean, well, like,
if we can go back a little bit, the sure. Hulk first appears 42 minutes into this movie.
Yeah.
And the Hulk's pants do rip, but they do stay on.
He's got magic pants. And I, after being in this lockdown for what, 15 months now, I'm going to need to know where these pants come from. I got to know where these magic fucking pants that just, they don't care what you're doing. They're fitting. they're amazing. I was enamored with these fucking purple gym shorts.
Well, the first, I want those pants too. The first transformation though happens in the hospital where I think the only witness is David, who sees the Hulk, and it lasts all of 2 minutes. So I remember back in the day, a lot of people were shitting on this movie because it wasn't a Hulk movie, but at the same time, I kind of get it because the Hulk's not really in this a whole lot. It's more of a character study,
which I like, but at the same time, I do feel like, you know, it's called Hulk, right?
It's right.
I could have had a little more Hulk action. It kind of reminded me of oh gosh, what's the Shyamalan movie? Bruce Willis, Unbreakable. Kind of reminded me of Unbreakable, where it's like, you know, like the way that that movie is like the first scene in every other superhero movie where he gets his powers and kind of tries them out. That's the end scene in Unbreakable. This kind of has a little less, but kind of has the same thing going on.
That would be an interesting Marvel movie, a Marvel superhero that's where their origin's told like Unbreakable.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work for me because like it is the Hulk. Like if it were any other superhero, I think it would be fine, but it's like literally the catchphrase is Hulk smash. Like I need to see more Hulk smash. And the fact that we don't see the first transformation for 3/4 of an hour is insane to me.
It's a very weird choice for sure.
Yeah. And it's not even like a real, like he's going off thing. Yeah. It's like, he's having this like tender moment with his Nick Nolte father and like he's rubbing his face and then he remembers like, oh, but you were also mean when I was a kid and now I'm gonna not even smack, like that's the thing, he just like jumps through the roof and that's it. And mm-hmm. you know,
I did not care for this Hulk kind of flying that he does for about an hour. he leaves the military base and just kind of float flies by jumping across the great country. Like it's like a Marlboro cigarette ad for about 30 minutes. And
to be fair, that's established in the comics. That's how Hulk moves. Like way back in the 60s, he was doing that.
Yeah.
Sure, but it's stupid.
No, Nick, I mean, it sounds silly, but Nick's right. You need to like kill your babies, man. When you're doing an adaptation, I'll give you another great example of this. The Zack Snyder Watchmen movie is very, very great. I think a great one-to-one for the comics up until the end, of course, but also a perfect example of why you should never do a one-to-one adaptation. Some things just don't work.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think maybe Flying Hulk could
And that's Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And, you know, and for all of its, you know, all of the things we've talked about that we dislike of the MCU so far, that's one thing that they do very, very well is
yes.
they say, fuck it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And we're not going to try to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Nolan was good at that, too, in the Batman trilogy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the Hulk just turns into like, I don't even know what. It's like Poochie going back to his home planet. Like, it has an impact crater on either side. Like, he doesn't leave footprints in the sand. He's just like, and it's like they like literally physically move the GIF up and then back down. And the other thing about that is it'd be one thing if it took 5 minutes, mm-hmm. but it really just goes on and on and on and on. Like,
well, like everything else in this movie, it has no respect.
Sometimes it's not. And then he ends up in San Francisco. And you're like, I just lost 5 minutes of time.
Well, before that, there's that scene that rips off The Right Stuff where he's on a fighter jet and the fighter jet flies into space to freeze him.
Yeah, nice. I mean, that's in San Francisco. And in fact, if I recall, the Hulk actually saves the pilot who loses control of his plane. And Hulk jumps on him to lower him under Golden Gate Bridge. And then it shoots up to space.
Yeah, but then he just lets him float off into fucking space. That fighter probably dies in the worst way possible.
Oh yeah, no, everyone in that scene dies except for the Hulk. Really something. but yeah, at that point he turns back to normal because he sees Jennifer Connelly again, which is how he ends up with Nolte in front of, I don't know, the microwave. That weird.
They're electric generators, so ideally if they were turned on, if things got out of hand, that the electricity would vaporize them both, but that's not how it works. But anyway, what did everybody think of the CGI Hulk in this movie? Because I remember that got a lot of criticism when this movie was released.
It's still getting criticism, let me tell you that. This thing is awful.
Okay, now I have some more nuanced thoughts. I don't think that it's like good, and it's very easy to like say that, of course, having seen a good CG Hulk.
Yeah.
I think he himself is ugly, but I think like a lot of his movements and stuff, a lot of the way he acts, like I thought the mocap was really good.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that. I will definitely give that that accolade.
Now the CGI looks dated, but I don't mind how the Hulk looks.
I don't know, man. I started watching this and I laughed out loud the first time they revealed Hulk's face. He's super green. It's super it's weird. I think I wrote down that it looks like the person who designed this Hulk had only ever seen play school toys of Hulk. And like that's kind of the look they're going for. It's like smoothed out and like handsome, which is like I don't think the Hulk is ever ugly. It's just like he's fucking big and green, mm-hmm. and you don't need to like overcompensate, which is what I felt they were trying to do, and it's why it just does not work for me, you know.
At least they got the haircut right.
Yeah.
But no, Evan, you make really good points. Like, yeah, the mocap is really great, you know, and
when it's the action is there, it's good. It's just not there very much.
Yeah, and it's a lot of this like this model that I dislike standing around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they make two choices, which is really decisions that are wrong. You're right, for 2003 the CGI is fine, but he doesn't need to be an incandescent green color.
Yeah,
right? Like because he is practically neon.
Okay, thank you for agreeing. Because when I said he's too green, I was like, "Well, he's the Hulk, dumbass." It's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
No, you're totally right.
Yeah, okay.
And then the second thing is they make him far too smooth. There's no texture to anything, which is what you were saying with him being a Playmobil toy, right? Yeah. Like, and between those two things, it looks super cartoony. Even if you just made it more of an Oscar the Grouch kind of slimy green,
yeah,
that helps. It doesn't glow because. Then there's contrast.
Yeah, you're totally right.
It's just no texture to it, mm-hmm. you know, which is, we have the benefit now of having these amazing, you know, where we're filming entire films in CG and they look good. You know, it's like, you know, your opinions on CG versus practical sets and effects aside, it's like, you know, you watch Avengers Endgame, it does look good.
Yeah,
you
know? my only problem is like, I'm not someone who poo-poos like CG or anything, but I will say that sometimes when people film entire movies in just a green box, sometimes you do feel it a little bit.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, that's fair.
I seem to recall reading somewhere that one of Ang Lee's inspirations for the way the Hulk looks and moves was King Kong from the 1930s, which
great.
Based on that, I mean, King Kong looks stupid in that movie, but
but that's perfect. Works that in that Hulk way. Hulk is King Kong, you know?
I won't lie. I did absolutely suspect that they were going to do a King Kong moment in San Francisco where he grabs Jennifer Connelly and climbs to the
top of
that building. I thought it was coming, and I was just like so scared it was coming. I was just like, please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this.
But you know what? It would have been something. The fact that, like, Jennifer Connelly, and again, I know you can't remake it, but, like, the scenes in the Avengers movie where Black Widow is trying to calm Hulk down is very specific. And it's done very, like, but the second she shows up in the scene, he shrinks back down and those pants are holding on for dear life. And it's...
That frequently happens in this movie when he shrinks down. Those pants, I mean, they're... He needs
they're
to
Wonder
go,
pants, man.
He needs to go to the cookout for a couple meals in order to fit back into those pants.
Ah, man.
I do like the idea that Stan Lee's like, so I was smoking a J with a gym instructor, and he was telling me about these magic gym shots. And I'm like, well, what if the Hulk wore them?
Oh my God.
He's in this movie, by the way. The Stan Lee cameo was well
established. Oh, the worst Stan Lee cameo ever?
It's a double cameo, man. That's our Lou Ferrigno cameo.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They're the two security guards.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And that sucks.
It does.
You know, I thought it was fine. I mean, if you want a Stan Lee
cameo. It's just so nothing, right? Like, that cameo could have been really fun. And it's like, in my opinion, pretty nothing. There's nothing.
When has a Stan Lee cameo ever meant anything in a movie?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Clerks, it matters.
Mallrats,
excuse me. I will also say, I may have brought this up the last time we did a Marvel movie. Who knows? There's 300 episodes. I can't be bothered to read it. But in Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
God, that movie is so budget good.
Amazing. And at one point, like a PA goes in the scene and whispers, oh, geez, this is a Marvel or a DC movie? I got to get out of here. And then he comes back in. He goes, I'm Stan Lee. I love cameos. And he starts doing poses. You're just like. The man was,
and it's Stan Lee. That's one of like the last.
I on YouTube earlier this week, and I found the clips when Freakazoid showed up on Teen Titans Go.
Yes,
which was
what?
My God, it was incredible.
I know it's a divisive show because everyone likes the original Teen Titans, which is fine.
It's sorely underappreciated.
It was very funny, and it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's also very easy to hate because it's for kids, and everyone hates media made for children for some reason.
Well, and everyone hates everything. So.
Yeah, also
that's true.
That's true. Sorry.
You goddamn kids, get off my Teen Titans lawn.
Right.
Anyway, I mean, the final fight scene after a monstrous amount of time spent trying to shoot the Hulk from a helicopter is the Nick Nolte fight. David Banner.
Well, let's back up a little bit before you get to that. David Banner gets powers by trying to replicate the same experiment that turned Bruce into the Hulk by sucking in nanomeds and then being exposed to gamma radiation. But in his case, he doesn't become a Hulk. He becomes a
absorbing man.
It's the absorbing man. Yeah. Where he just can take on the qualities of whatever element or item he's touching.
Yeah. Which, like, it's
good for them for picking a weirdo villain.
It's my favorite one to hate on, actually. Whenever we record episodes for our podcast, I always give shit to the Absorbing Man cards because I don't know why, but it's like it always shows up first in my card stack too, because just it goes alphabetical.
Oh yeah, right.
So I always see Absorbing Man. I'm just like, this fucker, man. just get out of here. Nobody likes you, except Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
Because I'm in your house.
It works in this movie. I mean, his whole goal is to like absorb the Hulk's power for himself after he realizes he can absorb things. And after he crushes a security guard with that computer panel.
That's true. It's just, it's so weird because like, and this is, I think, you know, back to your point about, you know, the origin story being just this mashup of stuff. It's like Absorbing Man is not like a arch nemesis of the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, it just is random dude. And they're like, what if his dad was Absorbing Man? And you're like, sure. Well, what if we did better stuff? Like, what if we chose a more like in line with the character thing? You well, know, that, like,
yeah. That's not a challenge. You're
wheel out Red Hulk, but you know,
that's a challenge about the Hulk. He doesn't have any good villains, really.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he does and he doesn't, right? It's like, you know, they do Abomination in the MCU one, which whether you like okay, the film most, or not.
Most Hulk villains are just Hulk again.
That's you know? True, right.
So like Absorbing Man is not, at least in some ways.
Well, it's the same problem Wonder Woman has and the Wonder Woman movies have. She's a great character, but she doesn't have really any good villains to be foils for.
That's true.
She's way better served as a member of the Justice League, you know, and not that I didn't enjoy the first Wonder Woman movie, but I do wonder if like she could have played sort of like that Hawkeye role where it's like, oh, she's just kind of in the, if done properly anyway, she's just kind of in the movie, you know, in the ensembles.
I think I enjoyed that first one.
The first two thirds of it at least.
Yeah, that's fair. I kind of started to like the second one a little bit when I was watching it, and then
I have some thoughts on the second one that
I will
save most of until the until we do the episode on
the eventual episode. Yeah.
I like the second one. I'm just gonna say it.
That's odd. I don't understand how I like certain things about the movie. Quick thoughts: I thought Pedro Pascal was great, and I really appreciate the movie not ending with a big CG fight. Like I like it not having culminated in a big CG.
That's why I like the movie, because it doesn't end with a big CG fight and was more appropriate for Wonder Woman.
Right, absolutely. Okay. But anyway, back to Hulk. This movie does end with a big CG fight.
It sure does. Yes,
does. That is really hard to see what's going on, I might add.
What happens is Nick's referenced it a couple times about the giants on microwaves that's who are placed in front of David's captured by the military. Well, he says he'll turn himself in peacefully if he can just see Bruce one last time. Bruce is captured after that fight in San Francisco. And as the Absorbing Man, he absorbs all the electricity in the generators that are in that base that they're in front of. And Bruce turns into the Hulk upon seeing this. And then we get to the big fight at Pearl Lake, which is, like Evan said, completely dark. It's impossible to see what's going on. Partly in the movie, they explain it because there's a giant power outage in San Francisco. But overall, I think they were just being lazy with the CGI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say that confrontation of them in between the generators is like, it's just the weirdest fucking like two-man play I've ever been to. Like, it's this completely like dark stage and Nick Nolte is just going off. And I'm just like, man, like, why is this in here? Like, mm-hmm. just give me a more traditional, like, confrontation. And mm-hmm. I think it works better.
I don't mind that it's weird. I just don't, it's just shot really poorly, you know?
Well, that's why, though, I guess I mind that it's weird, is it's shot poorly. And then it comes in, like, when you put weird stuff in with other weird stuff that doesn't quite work, like, it ends up with this end product that you're just like, none of this works and it's bad. And it's what I was talking about with the comic paneling, where it's like, because most of the rest of the movie does not work, it's like mm-hmm. I associate that comic paneling with the rest of this movie, and that becomes a poor quality like way to present superhero movies going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think that scene's in there for one reason. That's because they had Nick Nolte. He's got two modes. One of them is go fuck yourself for casting me. The other is I'm going to swallow the scenery whole. So
yeah,
fair.
That's true.
Yeah. And I mean, and the problem is there's no stakes to this really. Cause like the guy got shot with 1,000 missiles and it didn't even make a damage.
Mm-hmm. I disagree about there being no stakes to this. I mean, this is a big emotional confrontation about Bruce and how David royally screwed up his life.
I mean, yeah, but there's a difference. But that's not like, why does the fight matter?
Yeah, this is like a conversation that they're having in the form of a fight, and just do a better fight, man.
Yeah, no, the framing works.
I mean, it is character development, sure, but at the end, the movie just doesn't feel like it goes anywhere until we get the teaser. the you know, the end scene where I guess he's working with Doctors Without Borders or something. Did you guys stick around through the credits for this?
Well, the thing with the frog? Yeah.
This
no. They're in the rainforest.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a little frog on his hat.
Yeah, Hulk
yes.
frog.
Okay, okay, okay. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, some bad guys show up to steal the medicine away from this little jungle hospital. And then Bruce Banner comes out and speaking in Spanish, he goes, "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." And his eyes flash green, smash cut to credits. And we're just like, that's what we're doing this week.
Yep.
Exactly. You know what? Honestly, this is one of my favorite Marvel fight scenes outside of like Iron Man, because it's really about the philosophy between the two characters. I mean, David's obviously evil and wants to absorb the Hulk. And then when he actually gets a chance to, that's what kills him. I mean, what's the scene where it's like an Akira ripoff where he's swelling into this giant energy bubble?
Yeah, it's just framed oddly, I think, is the thing for me, is why that one doesn't work. It just like it, like I absolutely understand what you mean about it having emotional stakes. I just would prefer that we see that play out in a better way and not all underwater and a lot of like incoherent Nolte yelling.
I don't disagree. It could have been done better. I'm just glad that they even tried, because superhero movies don't.
That's fair. But
we're pretty much done here. You guys want to give your final thoughts? We'll start with our guest, Dan. What do you got?
It's a don't watch for me. I've seen this movie a few times now, and it's rough. I don't know. I think you guys liked it. I just like, I was sitting there watching it and I was just like, it's so ridiculous. It's so over the top in parts and way too subdued. The worst part of it is it's boring. A lot of it is absolutely. So boring. It's a lot of Nick Nolte doing close talking, which don't give me that. That's not what I want from Nick Nolte. I'm sorry. You know, he ends up being creepy, as Nick and Evan have both said. You know, it's weird. And the best parts, I think, are the Jennifer Connelly, Sam Elliott bits. I want more of that. Mm-hmm. I watch more of that because they're the best in this and they play off each other very well as father and daughter.
Yeah.
Overall, though, it's just like, man, I want more Hulk smashing. There's too much Hulk genitalia trauma. He's getting bit in the crotch by a dog, and then he hits himself in the crotch with a tank. It's weird. It's weird. Just move on. You know,
it is weird.
The man has more body than just crotch. Okay.
Need to keep your eyes up here.
Yes.
Hulk eyes up here.
I mostly feel that way as well. It's a don't watch for me unless you're like a diehard Hulk fan. The movie does some cool stuff, but I find it more interesting just as a like snapshot of like what 2000 superhero movies look like. But if you want that, you can just go watch X-Men or Spider-Man or most recently Venom, which is just a movie from 2006.
Yeah.
In 2016, 17?
18.
18. Wow, 18?
I think so.
Holy crap, that movie's out of touch. And I like that movie, but wowee, man, oh man. Okay. But yeah, I mostly feel that the same way. I think there's some cool, interesting stuff going on. Like I love all the panel shots, even when they're, you know, a little gratuitous. I think Nick Nolte is good. But yeah, the Sam Elliott, I just couldn't get over it. I didn't like the casting. And I think it's just because of his public persona. I don't think he's doing bad. I don't know. This is I'd say skip it if you haven't seen it. There's nothing here for you unless you're a huge, huge Hulk fan.
Sudsy?
You know, it's kind of funny. I remember how divisive this movie was when it first came out, and I'm kind of hearing that here because I kind of disagree with Dan and Evan. I like the movie. I think it's way, way better than the standalone Hulk movie that they put out in 2008 with Edward Norton in it.
I agree, a lot.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, am I going to say it's perfect? No, but it kind of, it's an era of superhero movie that I miss where like individual directors could actually take their own interpretations to these characters. And nowadays it's you just have to stick the course with whatever Marvel executives are saying, and that's nowhere near as interesting. So I admire the movie. There are parts of it that I like. There are flaws in it. It's way too long. But you know what? I still say check it out.
I will say a couple things first. This movie, I think I'm more likely, I think it is better than the Ed Norton one. I also think I'm more likely to just throw it on than a lot of other Marvel movies because it is so bizarre.
I give it that. That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, and I like Mark Ruffalo a lot, but I could totally see a world where they kept Eric Bana because he plays the character very well. 2009, when I guess Iron Man comes back around, he's playing, he's in that first Star Trek movie, right? The J.J.
Yeah, he's the, oh my God, I can't remember his name. He is the villain.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I wish it had gone a little bit crazier and a little shorter. Like, I don't know why no one could tell him, cut it. Like, even John Woo got edited down horribly. Like, why can't we cut out half an hour of this damn movie? But I'll say it did interesting things. It's just, it's not very good. too much downtime in an action movie.
Yeah.
Out of time. Dan, why don't you give your podcast one more time?
Yeah, it's the Scuttlebutt podcast. We talk about the Topps Marvel Collect app, which is digital Marvel collectibles. It's a fun time. It's free to play. You know, if you're hearing about all the NFT stuff and you're worried about having to shell out your credit card numbers to get in on this, it's free to join. It's free to play. It's a fun time. And me and my co-host talk about it every Monday night for some reason.
There you go. Evan, you haven't talked about your show. What's your podcast?
That's true. I do a show every Wednesday night on Twitch called Questionable Counsel. People writing questions, and me and my co-host do our best to answer them. Results not guaranteed. Also, just started up a podcast network called IndieSaurus. Check that out if you're looking for some podcasts and all that good junk.
And we'll be switching on to it.
Whatever, yeah, featuring Myopia.
We may be on it by the time this episode comes out.
Here's hoping.
Nice. In the meantime, we'll be back next week with another chunk of your past. And otherwise, thanks for listening, guys.
Myopia Movies is a production of Doobletter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Sutis. The theme song is Sheriff Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Sutis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Wright. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.